And I am glad that we can go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. How many of you have known times in your life when you didn't know what you were going to do, but you knew you could pray? Amen. And I'm so thankful for that this evening, that we can pray and that we can turn our hearts toward the Lord. Amen. Well, I want you to turn back to 2 John, if you will, this evening. The second book of John. Let's see how the Lord touches us and where we end up tonight. Amen. Going to be a little different tonight, but I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I feel like it's where I'm supposed to be. And I just pray that tonight that God would help us to say the right things, do the right things. And I'm going to give you a quick overview of some things that I believe is important. And because we're living in a world today, my friend, and I don't come tonight to share this message in any condemning way, to throw stones at nobody. That's not who I am, and that's not what my desire is. But I do believe that we have an obligation to people and an obligation to God to do what God says. And that is to speak the truth, to as we understand the truth to the best of our knowledge. And we ended up there this morning on that. We shared a few things out of verses 1 through 3 and verse number 4. Tonight, again, it may be a little rocky at times, but again, I'm not going to try to be degrading. I'm not going to try to be in any way, shape, form, or fashion to come off with some type of persona that I'm better than anybody else. That's not what I want to do. But I do want to share some things with you tonight that typically you won't hear in too many pulpits today, and you won't hear in too many places today. But I want to share it with you as I understand it. So in verse number 4, I'm going to read a few of these verses. Again, I read all of them this morning, but I want to read to you this evening as we start for a purpose. I want to start where I'm starting because I believe that it is imperative that we hear this. You say, well, we're just a small church. This don't affect us. Has no bearing on me. Has no bearing on my family. Well, what I'm going to talk about tonight has a bearing on you. It has a bearing on me. It has a bearing on our families. Because we live in a day where modern culture will tell you, you're okay, I'm okay. All paths lead to the same place. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. So in verse number 4, we read this in the scripture again, and John was writing, and he said, I rejoice greatly that I am found of thy children, walking in truth. Thy children is walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. And we never know, God says, have no other gods before him. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I have wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that you had from the beginning that you love one another. And this is love, that you walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in love. I'm going to use that as a launching pad for this message. When you read 1 John and look through 1 John, one of the greatest portions of this scripture, it talks about the love of God.
1 John 4 and 7 that says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love. One that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Verse number 9, it says that the true manifestation of the love of God is found in the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We see that in verse number 9, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." The next verse says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but God loved us, that He loved us and sent His Son to become the sacrifice, the propitiation for our sins." Verse number 11, again, to reiterate, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also to love one another." When we look at this word love, even in the Greek, there's different definitions and different words for the word love throughout the Greek understanding of the different words. And I'm not going to go into all that. You got phileo, arios, and there's a storge, I think, is another one, and there's agape. Agape is that highest form of love as we understand it, and that's the God kind of love. We know from studying in days gone by that when we talk about the love of God, we look at God giving man what man needed and not what God looked at man and gave man what man wanted. He knew what we needed before He ever allowed Jesus to go to the cross. He already knew what we needed. So Jesus too is Christianity. Christianity is formed and fashioned. The foundation of it is built on the foundation of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I'll go as far as to say, and the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God first demonstrated His love towards us. The Bible said, even in the point that it said, "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, when we begin to look at 2 John, we talked about this morning of how that it was imperative of how that they walk in love, they walk in truth. And it gave us a foundation for personal conduct as a believer. The greatest personal conduct of the believer is found in the simple fact that Jesus said, by all men may know that you are my disciple by your love one to another. That's in the book of John. But here's where we have got to be careful in the church today. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's because everybody wants to talk about love, but they don't want to talk about truth. They want to, and I'm all for love. I want to be one who is known as one that loves people and one that's got the grace for people and the mercy for people. But John was writing unto them, and again, to reiterate, John was saying that you've got to do this in the spirit of love. Amen? I can tell you the truth, and I can hurt your feelings. I can hurt your feelings really, really bad, especially if you were one of my children, and still love you. The Bible says that God will chastise those that He loves. And if God does not chastise them, that means that you're not His and that you are an illegitimate child. You're not a child of God. The King James uses another word there if you want me to get King James with you. And I'm not going to go there, but that's what it says. So again, John was saying, I'm so graciously thankful that the church is walking in love. They're walking in truth. As a result of that, they're walking in love. Now here's the thing. The next thing you see in these verses is found in verse number 7. Because there's a shift. We talk about love. We talk about truth. We talk about love. Then we talk about this thing called deception. The devil will only love you till he gets you in hell. Then that's it. The devil's not your friend. The devil's not your bosom buddy. The devil is not one you want to run around with. So John was being told in this, the spirit of discernment was being activated in the life of John as he wrote to this lady who was the church and to her children who was the attendees, if you will. And he goes on and he says this, and he writes this in this, from my understanding, he writes this in this code so that when those that were reading this will understand, be careful, beware, be careful. There's everybody that's bumping elbows with you, everybody that's around you, they're not your friend. They are not for you. Look in verse number 7, and this is what he says. He says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Jesus said that if you are not for me, you are against me. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, unto me will enter into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. But it's he that does the will of the Father. So in the day, the culture, the hour that we're living in, It is very imperative that we be careful about what the Bible says. Because he says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. He went on to say that there is a great danger in deception. One who he was writing to, and it was not founded on the foundation of truth. Now, let's talk about this. So when you begin to look at this verse of Scripture in verse number 7, we take a path, and we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to look at that for a minute, because again, Paul is one that we can learn from. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul was actually mentioning this in the Scripture, and he begins this in verse number 1. He says, will you bear with me a little in my folly? Indeed, bear with me. He says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin of Christ. And then he goes on and he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. In other words, what he is saying is that you and I have to be extremely careful in the day and the hour that we're living in, because if we're not really, really careful, we will be again beguiled as Satan beguiled Eve, the spirit of the day, the spirit of the Antichrist, which means against Christ, is out in the world today. And let's not be removed from the very simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is very simple. Very simple. But in this, Paul goes on and he says, for if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we received another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest. Now, Paul was saying in this, again, that if there is another, he says, again, look at this, he says, that you got to bear with them a little bit, hear what they have to say, because by their words, they're going to have life, or by their words, they're going to be condemned. And you're going to be able to hear in a little bit what they're saying And Paul's going to know in just a minute whether they're with you or whether they're against you. I'm talking about following Christ. In this, Paul comes again back to the book of Galatians, chapter number 1 it is. And this is one of the things, again, that Paul was writing. And he talking to that church of Galatia, that church that he was telling them that you are to walk in the Spirit. You are to be led of the Spirit. And again, I want to say this. This is not in my notes, but I think it's very imperative and very important today that you and I walk under the guiding hand or the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Because I'm going to say this, because I want to do some messages on spiritual warfare. I want to do some messages on spirit wars. Is where I'm headed with that, and I'm going to get all that together. But we're living in a day where so many people are in spiritual warfare. They're under the domain and under the influence of Satan himself, and they don't even know it. They're not even aware of the demonic power and the demonic strongholds that they're under. Again, when Paul was writing to this church of Galatia, he begins in a moment of time in Galatians chapter 1, and we pick this up in verse number 6. And this is what he says there. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel. Now, we know gospel is what? Good news. Excuse me. But Paul again was telling this church, I cannot believe how quickly you went from serving Jesus to following after something that was not a part of Jesus. Now, I said that to say this, that when we look around our society today, and you're saying, well, we're in a Western culture, we're in the Bible Belt, and everybody in the Bible Belt, everybody in the South, everybody loves Jesus, bless your heart. But how many of you know that it's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. So again, Paul was telling them, I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now I'm talking to Thomasville Church of God. I'm not talking to no other church tonight. If anybody else is listening, God bless you. This goes back to where I was at this morning. We teachers, Sunday school teachers, choir directors, music directors, people that sing, leadership in this church. First of all, you need to be praying. You need to keep your spiritual life intact. You don't need to get up here and do nothing in any capacity if you've not prayed and sought God and you keep your spiritual life intact. Why? Why is that so important? If Satan himself beguiled Eve, Brother Tim, and who in the world do you think we are? And see, again, Paul was writing this, and he says, to think that you at one time were serving Jesus, you were serving Christ, but now you're so easily removed away from the truth to another gospel. Now let me move on. I know this is a lot on a Sunday night, but you just got to bear with my heart. And he says, I love the way Paul writes this. He says, which is not... Young people today, they ever do that? And they'll go, not. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Pervert the gospel of Christ. No other foundation other than that is laid, and that is the foundation of Jesus. I mentioned that this morning. We the church, we as leaders in the church, we are not judges. We are not looking down our nose on anybody else. I'm not even really a fruit inspector. Somebody said the other day, God called us to be a fruit inspector. No, he didn't. Not really. God has called us to discern between good and bad and evil and right. He's taught us that we're to know those that labor among us. And when I think about this again, Paul was writing this and he says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We need to hold on for a minute, because we go on and he says in this, he says in verse number 8, look at the power of the punch of this verse. I don't know if you feel what I feel when I studied all this, but this is the power of the punch. He said, but though we, Paul, the chief of sinners, he said, we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel other unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. What does that mean? To be given over unto destruction. When I read this, not only do I see the seriousness of Paul's writings, but I also feel the seriousness of God the Father in the inspiration of the word that was given to Paul, because if there was any other way for you and I to be redeemed, it would have been done, but Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's the whole book of Hebrews, if you want to turn there and read it sometime. But it took the blood of Jesus. Now, Paul goes on and says this, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Well, so in our culture today, is there those that teach or preach another gospel? Christianity is basically the foundation that we believe that Jesus is God's Son and Jesus is the Messiah. And I'm just going to read a little bit to you today that through his death, burial, resurrection, that humanity can be reconciled unto God. The Muslims, Islam, know Jesus as Isa, is regarded as one of the highest ranked prophets. Stay with me. It's going to get deep in here in a minute. And the Messiah, but Muslims believe that he was born of a virgin, performed miracles, and he will return one day at judgment. However, they do not view him as God's son. They do not view him as divine, and they are strict monotheism, which believes only in one God. So they disregard the Messiahship of Jesus, the way I understood this. Well, let's look at Judaism. I've had a little bit of conversation with a few of these guys. Judaism acknowledges that Jesus is a historical figure and a teacher, but does not accept him as the Messiah or a divine being. Jewish texts describe him as a rabbi who had disciples and performed miracles, but they reject the notion that he fulfilled messianic prophecies, such as outlined in the Hebrew scriptures, and whether it be Isaiah 9 or Isaiah 7 and 14 or Micah or any of those that we use at Christmas. Hinduism. Jesus is often regarded as a holy man, a wise teacher. Some Hindus may see him as a manifestation of God or a saint, but he is not considered the only path to God. His teachings on love and compassion resonate with Hebrew and Hindu values, and he is sometimes included among their other deities. That's pluralism. This is an interesting one right here, and I promise I didn't plan this way. It just sort of happened this way. I couldn't have planned it this way. How about Buddhism? Buddhism does not have a unified view of Jesus, but many Buddhists respect him as an enlightened teacher. His teachings on compassion and self-sacrifice align with Buddhist principles, although he is not seen as divine. Jesus is accepted for his moral teachings rather than his religious identity. So in these, we look at other ones as well. I thought I printed off the page for Latter-day Saints, that's Mormons, that believe that Jesus and Lucifer were both equal as sons of God, but yet Jesus won out at the end and he became the Savior. You can go in, I'm not making this up. You can go on and you can read this. So what does Jehovah's Witnesses believe about Jesus? This is just an overview. This is not in-depth. This is just an overview. That they believe he was a created being. This is Jehovah's Witnesses. Believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah as the Archangel Michael. Before he entered into the physical world, they view him first as the highest creation of God, which distinguishes him from God himself. His role, they believe that Jesus came to the earth to provide a ransom sacrifice for humanity's sins. His death and resurrection are seen as essential for those exercising faith to gain everlasting life. But yet he's not equal with God. Jehovah's Witnesses emphasize that Jesus is not co-equal and he is not co-eternal with God. And then God's kingdom, they believe Jesus is currently ruling king over God's heavenly kingdom, in which they believe will soon bring peace to the earth. The kingdom is seen as a real government, not just a spiritual state. They reject the Trinity. The Jehovah's Witnesses reject the Trinity traditionally because they're not Trinitarians, and they pose that God exists in three persons is essential one. They argue that the Bible does not support this concept and instead teach a Unitarian view of God. In summary, Jehovah's Witnesses hold a unique view of Jesus, viewing him as a significant but not a creative figure who plays a crucial role in their faith as Savior and King, while firmly maintaining that he is not Almighty God. So when you go through different religions, and you can read all of these different things, and you can... India, Wayne Miller, they've got, I don't know how many, in India, they've got millions of gods. When I was in Peru, they manifest that they still worship the sun, and there is a sun god that they worship in Peru. So with all of this said, what in the world, Pastor Green, does this have to do with us on a Sunday night? I mean, we're just right here in little old Thomasville. Why in the world is this important to us? I can tell you why. Because when you begin to read this, there is a great danger in deception, and there's scriptures that I read in both places, because he teaches us in both places that we're not to be removed away from the foundation of Jesus Christ. He says, if any man preach any other gospel, he will be accursed. In other words, he is set apart for destruction or separated from God for eternity. And what is our position on that? You can speak the truth. You can love people. But yet in the same regard, we look at this text, and he tells us that many deceivers have already entered in even in John's day. So when we look at this, He says that this deceiver is the Antichrist. So, the latter part of this scripture teaches us what we are to do. There is a great danger that we are to avoid. Let me just say it plain and simple. We are not to engage in, nor are we to entertain false religions. It's in the book. You say, well, how am I to deal with people knocking on my doors? You can do it any way you want to do it. But I personally normally talk with them. But if I was not grounded in the Word and I was not prepared to actually engage in the Word, I'd just tell them I had to go get a gallon of milk and I'd go to the store. Just been a little funny. I wouldn't engage that. Why? Because of what I'm getting ready to share with you. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, that this is in the Bible. The Bible teaches us that we're to flee from the very appearance of evil. The Bible says that we are not to be participators in other men's sins. Now, let's get the latter part of this done. I'll let you go home. We cannot engage in false doctrine. We are not to become participators with unbelievers. That means to engage in their belief system. When again John was writing this, he says this in verse number 9, and he says, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he both have the Father and the Son. We are Trinitarians, by the way. Verse 10. This is the warning. He says, if there come among any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the Bible says, receive him not into your house. Why? Because in participation, we are becoming a part of sharing a false doctrine. And in the process, you cannot bless what God has cursed. And I believe today that myself, I've wrote myself some notes here because me as a pastor, myself as a pastor, I've got to safeguard the church. It hadn't happened here. It's bound to happen here. It's prone to happen here. I've had situations in days gone by where I've had to engage in people as a pastor, and people's come up to the pulpit and people's come and they've said things to me. I've had one situation years ago. I was preaching somewhere. I don't remember where I was preaching. I come off the pulpit and I got down to the right here and there was a guy in my face, saying that he didn't believe in speaking in tongues in the church. Well, I don't know where he come from, and I didn't hang around him too long because that's his opinion and I've got mine. See you later, alligator. But I'm going to believe the Word. But Jude warns against this. I don't have time to go in the book of Jude, but I can very quickly turn because he says there in the book of Jude where he talks about this. He says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to the condemnation of ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are watchmen. Hello? We're watchmen over the house of God, that we have to know that the Word of God goes forth and is established and built on thus saith God. I hope I've not bored you totally out of your mind tonight. But this, I believe this is something that we've got to be mindful of, not only today, but it could be in the future. Because he says, if any man don't preach Jesus, he's already an antichrist. There's not many pathways. And all of the Eastern religions and all the other religions of the world that take away from the, the death, the burial, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and they want to preach some other form of gospel unto you. They're all fake religions. All of them. Every one of them are fake religions. We have to have that settled in our own heart. And we have to know that for a fact, because there are people that will say, well, preacher, they just hadn't got to where you're at, and maybe they'll come on along, and maybe they're not there yet, and maybe they'll believe this, and maybe they'll still get into heaven, or maybe they'll find their way eventually. No. We have to be so concretely settled, and some people call it dogma, call it dogmatic. If I have to be dogmatic in my belief, in my dogma, if you will, in what I believe to be the truth of God's Word, so be it. Because I don't feel like that it's any day or hour, because if we entertain those that don't believe what we believe as Christian, it breeds room in people's life for unbelief. And then, eventually, it can lead to the rejection of the gospel. The truth is eventually rejected, and the Father and the Son is rejected. And the only thing that will destroy Satan and the bondages of your life today is the truth. Christ came to destroy the yoke. So what is he saying? Verse 10, if any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. In other words, that's saying, God bless you. And that's where, and again, as I started in the very beginning, I'm not any better than anybody else. That would be like telling somebody that's a false prophet, somebody that's walking in a false doctrine, somebody that's totally 100% against the virgin birth of Jesus, etc. and so forth. Well, God bless you. Just keep doing what you're doing. Maybe the Lord bless you. No, he won't. He said not even receive them into your house. Somebody says, that's rude. No, that's Bible. Amen. And the reason being is because it could lead to the rejection of the gospel, especially in younger people or people that don't know the foundation of the Word of God. A few more things. Again, don't bid them Godspeed. In other words, don't encourage them to continue to spread their false doctrine. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I bet y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Maybe you did. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to walk in truth, speak the truth in love. God loves the sinner just like he loves the saint. So in this, we have to maintain a position that we're not going to engage in false belief and false doctrine. And then he says, we're not going to entertain it. He says it right there. We're not going to welcome it into our house, into our hearts. We got to know what we believe. And then the last thing, hey, you're going to get out early tonight. The last thing is this. He says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with pen or ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy might be full. The children of the elect, sister, greet thee. Amen. Book number three is actually where, again, John again was continuing this writing as he wrote this. He wrote this to Gaius. You see that in verse number one. He says, whom I love in the truth. Again, the truth is mentioned here. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. He was talking to a man by the name of Gaius, a leader in the congregation of the church of that day, who was helping John spread the gospel. He said to Gaius, I want you to be in health. I want you to prosper. I love you in the Lord. And then he says this in verse 3. He said, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. What a testimony of this man. When John heard that the disciples were coming to John, and John heard what Gaius was doing, when you look at that, he said they came and they testified of the truth. Jesus says, the truth tonight. Let me say that again without mumbling my words. Jesus is the truth tonight. And then he says, that is in thee, the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Now, I went through these scriptures very quick this morning. I want to go back to them because it's at the very end. I want to share these with you really quick. John 8 and 32. John 8 and 32. The same John, chapter 8, verse 32 in the Gospels. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Jesus is the truth. False doctrines is going to fade away. False religions is going to fade away. But the truth will stand. We need to stand in the truth, walk in the truth of the Word of God. The last thing is simply this. John 17 and 17. When you look in this, again, these are in John, again, the Gospel of John. He comes back and he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Let the truth prevail. And then he says, thy word is truth. So for the church today, when we build foundations, when we speak the word, I tell people all the time, tell the truth. I tell my kids. Brother Tim mentioned our children. Just tell the truth. Tell the truth. And you'll be okay. I've told my son Aaron at times, I said, son, if you do right long enough, eventually it'll catch up with you. Just do what is right. Just tell the truth and do what is right. Now, I don't know how you feel this evening, but I tell you what, if we could just get this into a younger generation, walk in truth, tell the truth, build your house on the truth. Young married couples today that's just getting married, build your home on the truth. Walk in the truth. And eventually, little by little and day by day, it may not change everybody's world, but it'll change your world because you're going to have peace with God, who is the truth. Amen? All righty, I'm done. Let's stand together. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We do thank you. We thank you, Heavenly Father God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, your Son Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word, and thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, as David the psalmist said. God, let your word go forth and let it continue to make a difference in the lives of those that we touch, to our children, to our family, to our neighbors, to those in the church. Let us build our future on the truth of your word. And Father, we thank you that as we do that, God, that we will prosper and our lives will be blessed. As John told Gaius, you're going to be blessed because you walk in the truth. And Father, we thank you that Jesus is our role model. Jesus is our example tonight. And Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.